Consensus 1234 invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Angus Sampson.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another week of it with me, Tony Martin. That's Ed Cavalli.
Morning.
Just having a sandwich. Angus Sampson, give him a round.
Hey. Good morning, girls and boys.
What other voiceovers have you been doing since we last saw you?
That one with your intro music, that is actually a voiceover that I've done.
Really?
I've used that.
Someone else using the Hives?
Yes. That was a...
Not Ernie Sigley.
They did it on a Target. The Target used it.
Really?
Yes.
The Hives approved that?
Yeah, they. So that one slipped through. The maybe the drummer answered the phone. What's that?
Yeah, it's fine. Target,
yeah. Yeah. Send us through some moccasins.
Yeah. And what were you saying? What was your bit?
I can't remember, but it was something, you know, along the lines of, you know, this soft, velvety, you know, woolen undergarments, now 1995, and a free $20 voucher to our radio record section, or whatever. Like, it's something that I find it really difficult to give myself emotionally to voiceovers.
All right.
Unless I have had some experience. And for me, Target, I actually, my experience with Target was when I was a 14-year-old, a boy, let's call him Timothy Waddington, told me how to steal from Target. He said, oh, look, if you want to steal something from Target, go in with your backpack, and apologies to anyone, but when you walk out with a limp or pretend that you're, you know, disabled or something, and they won't inspect your bag.
Oh, right.
And so every time I did a Target one, that's what I was thinking of, and of course that contract with Target didn't last long.
I'm just thinking that all over Australia today, people who look like Quasimodo are going to be leaving Target
dragging their knuckles on one side,
inundated with cripples today, I think, thanks to you, Angus,
just with an Xbox in their back, in their backpack,
an Xbox shaped hump.
Yeah, and it's but no, look, lots of voiceovers, but I've been listening to your beautiful show. What a great program you guys have.
Well, I don't know how it's going in the world of radio.
No.
But in the world of podcasting, it seems to have gone nuts. Apparently, we're at number 3 on iTunes. Is that good, number 3?
Congratulations.
Yet? I don't know. It depends what we're... thank you. I think it's great. What's 2?
Well, the thing is, number 1 is Ricky Gervais.
Who?
Yes. He's like the lord of podcasting. Number 2 is some kind of video podcast of some obscene... a cartoon program that you can send someone as a Valentine's Day card. We've got to get a bit of that going.
That's great, yeah. Well,
download, get this, please. I mean, how many? You'd probably be getting thousands upon thousands internationally.
I can't get my computer on to find out how it works.
Can I?
I'm told. People are going, we're actually number 1 for Australian shows and number 1 for shows beginning with G.
Hey.
But I can't get on there to actually confirm any of this. I know it's got I think it's the interview with Kim Beazley where he's got a stapler up his ass. I know that's on the new one. Perhaps that's what's dragging them in.
you are number 3. That's awesome. Do you know that I've wanted to get into podcasting, but I actually don't know how.
Have you got a computer?
Yeah.
That's a first. You need that.
And a microphone.
What brand did you say you have?
Dell.
Is that good? That sounds like the gold star of computers to me.
It is.
Telefunken.
I love Telefunken and I love Nintouse.
And Blauplunkt. My computer's Blauplunkt. Or maybe a Skoda.
There's a couple of consonants next to one another that aren't usually there, like a K and a T. That's what you have to have a prerequisite to buy for those technologies.
Do either of you guys know anyone that drives a Lauda? The only Russian car to ever hit the mass market.
And also record your favourite television program.
on beta.
I ended up trying to upgrade my laptop the other day. I was, you know, sort of fell victim to the advertising that. And I got onto the Dell website and I bought this computer in 2003. And I could not find it anywhere on their website. I'm looking at, I've got a notebook, 1100 Inspiron notebook. I could not find it anywhere on Dell's website to upgrade. I wanted to get a DVD burner. I don't even have that. I'm like, so as far as I'm concerned, this doesn't exist. I was like, I'd been erased, like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They denying that they ever made it.
Yeah, I couldn't even, I cannot upgrade my laptop at all. So I'm in the market for one. If you do have one, get on our podcasts.
Well, I've got some sort of Apple, but it's like System, I think, 2. And it's just, I don't know.
System Pi?
I remember, it's a negative system. I remember getting a bloke to come around and fix it about 10 months after I bought it. It was like the iMac. Mm. And it's 10 months after I bought it, and the guys come in and go, oh, still making these, are they, mate? One of the originals.
Steam-powered, is it?
That always happens. This program is steam-powered, and there'll be more in a moment. That'd be those ZZ Top gentlemen with their sharp-dressed man.
Yep.
Angus Sampson's with us on Get This here at Triple M. And Angus, have you been to see The Da Vinci Code?
I haven't, but I'm stinging to see it. But I have a problem with Tom Hanks, who I find incredibly patronising his persona. I haven't met him yet.
You're more of a Lou Ferringo man.
I am. And since we spoke, Lou, I think of Tony every day. Above my desk, I stuck up a poster of
Lou Ferringo. Lou,
and I'm trying to find a signed poster for you, Tony.
Of that Lou
doesn't,
Ferringo.
Yeah, that doesn't have Dear Angus on it.
All right, so, okay.
But I've got it stored somewhere, maybe where he played Hercules. But yeah. I met someone the other day that talked about the Da Vinci Code. I took my car into my mechanics, and his lovely wife said that the reason that she liked Tom Hanks was that he's married to a Greek.
Right. So okay.
Maybe I was quick to judge him.
Yes, fair enough.
I saw it last week.
You saw it?
Yeah.
And?
It's painful.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, the word is bad, I have to say.
Look, there's 14 interesting pages in the book.
Right.
And if it came out as a 3-minute short where they just went, look, this is the basic theory. Some people kind of got killed. That's,
right.
All right. We'll see you at the ad break. Then that'd be sweet. But 2.5 hours.
And break in a short film?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, David Stratton. But, I mean, I saw they did a brilliant thing, though, at the premiere, because the reviews have been really bad, the word was really bad. So they got Eva Herzegova to show up in an orange dress.
That'll work.
Did you see that?
I thought she looked amazing.
She looks unbelievable.
In case people haven't seen the photo, just close your eyes and picture it if you could. There you go. There she is, walking up the red carpet.
Mm. It's like she's wearing really well kind of tapered curtains.
Yeah.
Basically, if you didn't see it, she had splits on either side from her ankles to her hips.
Let's just picture that for a moment. See, you've forgotten how bad the film is now, haven't you? You see?
I actually have.
It's made up for it.
What they should have done is had a split screen. The film on the left and just Ava walking slowly on the right. And you could choose what you wanted to watch.
Is she in the film?
No.
Do we care? I think not.
Oh, well, I'm actually looking forward to seeing it. There's a bit of me that I loved the Da Vinci Code, and then all these people read it, and then suddenly I thought, should I still like them if everyone
That's
else
everyone
liked
does,
them?
Isn't it?
It's a real, and of course, if I have read it, I think I discovered the book. But, thanks to the local publishers that put it out. But the interesting thing is that with the Da Vinci Code, I'm astounded at how many people have seemingly got on the bandwagon.
Yes.
The Age newspaper in Victoria last week printed a headline in code above... above the photo, like a press photo, clipping of the film, and half of it was in red and half was in black, and it was, you had to work out, every third letter to the right said something, see this film if you can, or whatever. Smallville on about Superman has done an episode where there's paintings with messages in there. It's actually astounding. Soon there'll be... road signs and what have you.
Well, The Age had that one, and the other Melbourne newspaper, The Herald Sun, had a phrase in code as well, and when you decoded it, it just simply said, political correctness gone mad.
Thank goodness.
You had to actually scratch the picture of Bob Hart just in between his chins. It revealed a secret message.
Hey, Gus, we've got a little something for Tony.
Yeah, now, I didn't tell you
is
this,
is it a
Tony.
Fruit basket?
It might be.
It's actually Ed's half-eaten sandwich.
That's
the last time I was here, I was I was very much a humbled guest of Tony and Ed's show to talk about my film Kokoda.
Yes,
which is still screening at nationally at cinemas. And I left and I was listening to, after your show, The Bear's Smackdown.
Right. He loves the Smackdown, the Bear.
He smacks that.
Even when his show's not on, he's just out in the offices having a Smackdown, just pitting artists against him. What if we got Thomas Dolby and REO Speedwagon to have a Smackdown?
He just invites them in for a meeting and gets them to wait at the room at the end, and they're just sitting there and sort of no one comes in. What time are you seeing the Bear? Well, I was here at 10. Well, I'm here at 10. Well, I'm going first.
No, you're not.
Well, I am. I've got this cord that I wanted to
play. Want to make something of it, Speedwagon?
Like a night in shining from a long time ago. Anyway, and I tuned back in to think, I thought, what a great show. What a great man Tony Martin is to be on air and be doing radio again. Like, for the mental health of this country, and
really,
of course, and I thought, oh, he's still on, and it wasn't you at all.
I was actually
listening to Pink Floyd singing "Comfortably Numb,"
right?
And if I could just play this to you, listeners, tell me if you think this is in fact Tony Martin singing Pink Floyd's "Comfortably Numb."
I don't remember doing it. If you can
hear me. That is you.
It might be. Is there anyone home? I was in the Music Men for a couple of weeks anonymously.
That if I asked you to do a song to take that song off, that is what would come out.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Is there anybody in there? I'm sure that you could launch a music career now.
As soon as we go to the next song, I'm running straight in to see Maddie to do a bit of it. Hello. Would it work as John Howard?
There's Bruce Samazan, there's Melissa DeCounts, there's Holly Valance, and now Tony Martin. Well, is comfortably numb.
Maybe I did do that. I don't remember doing it. But, look, there's one thing I do have to do, and that's some serious news, Angus. Do you mind if we do some serious news?
Please.
I'm sorry to ruin the very nice tone you've set up there, but the Department of Defence has issued yet another apology to the family of Private Jake Kovco. Unfortunately, the apology was left in the back of a taxi and delivered by mistake to hot dogs from Big Brother. Defence Minister Brendan Nelson then wrote a fifth apology and delivered it by hand to the grieving family. Unfortunately, while approaching their property, he lost control of his vehicle, crashed through their front fence and flattened a memorial shrine constructed by local school children. Emerging from the wreckage and angry and embarrassed, Dr. Nelson had just enough time to hand over the apology before flames engulfed the Kovco family home. The envelope was later found to contain not an apology but traces of anthrax, which was supposed to have been destroyed months ago. As the distraught family members were loaded into an ambulance and taken away for decontamination, a furious Dr. Nelson calls a hastily convened press conference stating, "I deeply regret what has happened here and intend to launch a full inquiry," at which point his podium collapsed, crushing the Kovco family dog. More details as they come to hand. That's Pete Murray, opportunity here again, this on Triple M. No, stop calling. We're not going to run the Eva Herzegova music again. You're just going to have to picture it in your own head to your own music. Angus Sampson is sitting in with us. And you mentioned you're in Kokoda. I think that's still in cinemas.
Of course.
In case people haven't heard anything about Kokoda, we've actually got a clip from it here. Yeah, fantastic scene from Kokoda. I think that was you, actually, Angus.
The love scene.
Yes, it's a story of a young human beatboxer who makes his way through the tough trials and tribulations of the Papua New Guinean music scene.
That's what I thought it was.
Do you know it's a fantastic day today? I don't know if you know this, but I just looked down and saw that it was the 22nd of May.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means?
It comes around every year.
Surprisingly, yes. It is, today is Bernie Taupin's birthday.
Is that right? What have we got him?
Now, did you
look at Ed, doesn't know who Bernie Taupin is.
That's interesting because He wrote the biography, or autobiography, that simply titled "The One Who Writes the Words for Elton John."
Oh, is that what he called it?
That's the name of his book.
Wow.
The One Who Writes the Words for Elton John.
Did he write Rocket Man?
He did.
Great song.
I've actually got some footage on my laptop. On the laptop of from the 1973 Science Fiction Awards.
Do they still do those?
No. But the 1973 Science Fiction
Seems
Awards
a weird
where
year to stop.
He throws to William Shatner interpreting his hit song Rocket Man. And it actually, they took it off in an episode of The Family Guy once, where Stewie came out and played it. But it was an example of the advances they'd made in technology for 1973. And William Shatner came out and did some spoken word of Rocket Man and alluded to the fact that I'm going to get high tonight may be some other reference to some sort of other stimulants as opposed to flying through space, the literal meaning. And the example of the technology that they'd progressed with was that they could put three William Shatners on stage.
Oh, right.
It's if you can get the footage, I urge you to get it. The third one
who
comes out.
Do they interact? Do
they
interact?
They do.
Where exactly would people get footage of the 1973 Science Fiction Awards? Sounds like something that came with the Dell computer when you bought it. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm going to suggest maybe like go into a phone booth or something and just hope that it's a TARDIS or something.
Three William Shatners. What was the name of that Taupin book again?
The One Who Writes the Words for Elton John. As opposed to Vanilla Ice's autobiography, Ice by Ice.
Yeah. How long does that go? What is there to say?
The cover of that is him with a really, like the angle of his legs, of his crotch. He's standing with a split, like is almost obtuse the angle. And he is standing with his arms folded and it's Ice by Ice.
Chapter one. Ding, 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 da, ding, ding. The end. That would be the whole book, wouldn't it? It's pretty much the Vanilla Ice story.
What about the Hulk Hogan one?
What's his book called?
His book's Hulk Hogan, but I knew I had to buy it when I picked it up. And the first page I opened up at was chapter 72. I didn't know that any book had that many chapters. And I was halfway through the book, chapter 72. And the first paragraph said, back in 1993, when I needed two alien bounty hunters to capture me in the film blank, I could think of none other than The Undertaker. And he gives the story of how he created The Undertaker. Basically, he was a young wrestler, and I bought the book there and then. It's a New York Times bestseller.
Hulk Hogan, William Shatner, Bernie Taupin. Let's move into the 21st century, shall we?
Hulk's real name is Terry.
Todd and Brad. What about Todd and Brad, Angus? Did you watch it last night?
No, I missed them. The evictions I prefer are Big Brother.
They were fantastic. Great work, Todd and Brad. And Brad, if they're looking for someone to play Alfred E. Newman from the cover of Mad Magazine in the Alfred E. Newman story, sign Brad up.
Todd looks a bit like Alf as well.
What did they say? Tell me. I missed it all. I missed all of it. What were they saying? Who interviewed them?
It was Tracy Grimshaw's exclusive interview. Grimmies. But hey, forget that. What about my exclusive interview with Todd and Brand? That's coming.
Tomorrow on Get This, Tony Martin goes face to face with Todd and Brand.
What was it like when you were trapped in that bar with Eddie Maguire and all those journalists?
I just remember the first thing was Todd yelling, you know, are you all right? Are you there? You know. And then I went, oh, this is really bad, you know. This is a really bad scenario we're in here now.
Hundreds of celebrity agents surrounding you.
Yeah, so I thought, well, geez, you know, you hear about it, but you don't ever want to live it.
All of them trying to sign you up for something?
At that stage, I kept saying to Brent, I've got to get out.
But your path was blocked by a wall of network lawyers?
Brent could never see me. Maybe I was, you know, there'd been a couple of feet between us, in front of us, but I couldn't see him. I was buried.
Wow. Brent, were you aware that at one point David Koch had Todd in a headlock?
Todd was in trouble, right? I knew that. Mm. So all I could do was just say, well, look, buddy, we've got to hold on.
Right.
Because I've got to get out to help you.
And Koshy had you actually pinned to the bar.
At this stage, I've lost feeling in my left leg, right, and I'm starting to brand.
A lot of pressure.
I'm starting to brand.
A lot of pressure.
We've got to get me out of here. Got to get me out.
And people are pitching telly movies. What was that like?
It was starting to push fluids up, and I was vomiting fluids up.
Right. So you're completely hemmed in by current affairs show hosts and photographers.
Yeah, and we just started shoveling them off you, didn't we, pal? Yep.
Harry and Miller's there.
I shut me eyes.
Some big sackers on him.
Todd and Brandt's amazing escape from the media scrum, exclusive to Get This.
You had three different women's magazines fighting over the baby photos.
I've had a few blues in my life, I said, but I've never fought that hard.
Get This.
It is an absurd and indeed evil thing.
For Census 1234 on Triple M.
It's Get This on Triple M. And hang on, is that that Bryan Adams song we're playing, Richard? How does the dog react? That's Bryan Adams in his Summer of 69. I'm sorry for talking over the front. I might have ruined that for a few people, guys. Hey,
what'd I miss?
People were straining at their radios going, what, his first reel, what? Guys, is it six string? I couldn't hear that properly. Angus Sampson's with us.
I wanted to mention to you, Tone, you mentioned this morning before about voiceovers. And,
yes.
In some of those voiceovers that you do, because as an actor, I lend my tones to reading voiceovers. And they have disclaimers at the end. They have a very, you know, like offer excludes,
O5
model.
TCL, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, $282 on New Zealand, $300 on the Murano. It's a real sort of tone. I was thinking the other day how funny it is. What is the ultimate disclaimer? Yeah. And I it had been staring me in the face for years.
Yes.
When I travel overseas, I try to go overseas as much as I can, and I like to take in the local culture, wherever I am. None more so than popping into the local museums or just to, you know, get a slice of culture. Wherever I can, I have a favorite museum and I don't know, you guys may have heard of it. It's a little sort of boutique museum by the name of Ripley's, believe it or not.
Where is that?
There's only one in Australia.
Cavill Avenue. I mentioned it on air
the Gold
other
Coast.
Day. It's genius.
Mm. Right. Because there's the Ripley show on Foxtel. That's a lot of disturbing footage.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I was watching a Ripley's on the weekend, and it's like, after the break, find out why this 25-inch woman, the world's shortest woman, walks tall. This Colombian Ecuadorian lady that now lives... I actually sound like Robin Leach.
That's right, Dionne Warwick.
Dionne Warwick. Now, La Dolce Vita doesn't get any sweeter.
The daughter of a Harlem subway conductor who grew up dreaming of show business. It's pretty much everyone on that show.
Adnan Khashoggi. The world's richest bachelor with gold-plated toilets in his own private 747. But the great thing about Ripley's, believe it or not, is that that's the ultimate disclaimer. That is, I went into one in Copenhagen, the Ripley's, believe it or not, and I wandered through, and there's like a half monkey, half mermaid.
Sweet,
there.
Yeah.
There's you know, any number of, there's the world's largest Taj Mahal matchstick thing, which I'm
that's
like, well, that's
good.
Not really. Well, but the idea is you need to question whether or not you believe it. So, but I can see the world's largest Taj Mahal matchstick. My favorite one in all of the entire world, and I didn't realize this, but they actually replicate them around the world. There's a chain of them. There's one in Los Angeles, but in Hong Kong. I went to one in Hong Kong, and there's a fish there, and you read the little inscription alongside the fish, and the fish is wearing glasses. Is wearing spectacles. There's a fish there with a pair of spectacles perched on its, I guess, beak, what have you, on its nose, near its gills.
Yes.
The story goes that a man was fishing in Hong Kong Harbour and
don't believe it.
I kid you not. And he caught him. Okay, you're not believing it at this stage. Okay. He's caught a fish.
Basically, with bad eyesight.
He's wearing his own glasses. He's caught a fish. Ended up, he's reeled it in. As he's reached over to get it, the fish has gotten off the hook and his glasses has fallen off.
Yes.
His glasses have fallen off. rather than return to the, you know, to down to the hock, to the dock, sorry, and go and see the doctor and the optometrist, he's kept fishing, and 30 or 40 minutes later, he's caught a fish, and it is exactly the same fish, and it's wearing his spectacles when he caught it. Believe it or not.
You know, I'm just going to go with not.
Yeah. You know,
okay, I believe it.
It's the ultimate disclaimer. Look.
All right, let's hear the sound for Talkback Mountain.
if you believe it or not.
Bugger what we were going to do. Yeah. Obviously, we're going to have to help Angus come up with exhibits for his new Samson's Believe It or Not Museum. Frankly, their glasses fall off. They don't see that happen, right? No. So that's the first part I'm not believing. Secondly, they land exactly on the fish. I'm not buying that part. Then he throws it back in, still doesn't notice that the glasses are on the fish, lands in the water, the glasses don't fall off. Are they the ones with the string around them? Not one single bit of that story rings true.
Tony, this
and
is...
And you believe it, Ed Cavalier?
This is how it went down. He's caught the fish, right? There's water splashing in his face, so he's like a little bit blinded, right? Yeah. The glasses have fallen off. That happens. Yeah. People sometimes forget their glasses and they're on the top of their head.
Yeah.
Right? They've fallen in. They're not very strong, I'm guessing. They're bifocal sunglass ones, very light. Mm. They've fallen down, boom, onto the fishy's face. The bits for your ears have gone into its gills.
Right.
Right? The fish, with its better eyesight, has gone, hang on, I'm in deep trouble here. Wriggled free, as they do often, Tony. Yeah. You know as well as I do.
Fish have eyes on the side. So how are these glasses? Yeah. What kind of head did this bloke have?
He reckoned.
None of this story is believable.
But there is a half monkey, half mermaid.
There we go.
And I saw, listen, I saw on Ripley's
this
week.
You almost said in captivity.
Well, I don't know how they caught it. I don't know how they caught the half monkey, half mermaid.
With a banana and a fish.
But this is
and a sailor.
Wouldn't it be the best job in the world working at Ripley's, believe it or not?
Making stuff up.
Well,
when there's incredible things happening in the real world, what about the 70-year-old bloke that's climbed Mount Everest?
Is it for the 16th time?
Is it for the 16th time?
The Japanese guy?
It doesn't say.
That's pretty cool.
He's 70. Frankly, pisswick. Got his own legs. Hopeless.
Well,
and then you
can't
got,
believe he made the paper.
Isn't there the couple, the Melbourne couple, who have become the first husband and wife to conquer Mount Everest? Isn't there a queue? What the hell is going? I'm going to wait till the legless bloke's down and 70-year-old, you're next. And, husband and wife, take a number. Yeah,
and what do you do? I'm just an adventurer. I just want, nope, sorry, mate. Got to have a better story than that. Off with the legs or get a wife. Get out of here.
We're looking for exhibits for Samson's Believe It or Not. Have you got something incredible? Yes. Maybe it's a fish wearing glasses.
If you did see Ripley's this week, there was a 20-kilo cigar on there.
See, that could be good. Five people have just hung up the phone. Beaten me to it. Have we got a prize, by the way?
Yeah, man. It's prizes are galore. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, SmackDown from 2006 that we didn't give away on Friday. We've got another Buddha, the Gary Hocking tribute DVD.
Still no
Let's
idea what that means.
You're a Port Adelaide fan because we've got the premieres of 04 VHS. Not available in beta. There's another prize which I've forgotten. I believe it was a CD.
This is a shambles. Call us at Samson's Believe It or Not with your exhibit 133353. That's your Bloodhound Gang. Here, get this on Triple M. Angus Sampson is with us. Sound the alarm if you could.
Thank you, Angus. I just want to say thank you for this. This is... made me so happy.
Samson's Believe It or Not, we're trying to stock a new museum with amazing feats, acts, sights, whatever you've got.
Sean, you are first up. G'day.
Yes, mate. G'day. How are you? Very, love your show.
Very good, man. Lovely to hear from you. Tell us what you...
I was out fishing one day and we come back in and we started cleaning our catch. All these seagulls were sitting around the back of the boat. All of a sudden, there's only one seagull left.
Because
there was an octopus eating it.
Oh, there you go. That could be in the museum.
He was stuck on the bottom with one leg and he's had the other leg up around getting his neck down and finally got it and sucked it down. It was bye-bye seagull.
What, where is this octopus now?
I don't know. I hope he's still alive. He's swimming around Watson's Bay, though.
And so was it still flapping about inside the octopus?
No, we didn't really look at that, mate. It just kind of just covered, jumped on it and just hooded it. And that was the end of that.
I could put that. It could be like one of our main attractions.
Yeah, hard to restage every day.
Oh, mate, it was pretty wild, especially after we had a couple of beers. We're both looking at each other, thinking if we saw the same thing or not.
Well, I hope you did.
Yes, we did. I did.
Thank you, Sean.
Have you got
great.
A prize for that, man?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's getting the Buddha DVD. He gets the Gary Hocking tribute.
I'm sure he'd like a bit of Buddha.
Does that have the chapter where he changes his name to a pet food?
Whiskers.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's in the extras.
What are you talking
hello,
about?
Hello, Shane.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good, mate. Tell us, talk us through it.
Fella out of Sydney Harbour was on a charter boat. Yeah. And had a bit of a multicoloured yawn over the side, the old fella,
yeah.
And lost the old dentures.
Oh, yeah.
Now, apparently about 2 months later, okay, they caught a fish yeah. on the same charter boat. And when they gutted it and cleaned it, the guy, old bloke's dentures were in his stomach.
Oh, that's amazing. Did he just whop them back in?
I don't know. Are
you sure the marlin didn't have them in?
No, no, actually, I think it was.
Yeah, maybe the marlin was wearing some glasses and false teeth and had a bit of lippy on as well.
And an earring, a diamond stud earring. I don't actually know how we'd display these, though. Like, would we have to actually have, at Samson's Believe It or Not, would right, I actually have to have Ed there?
Reenactment so far.
Oh, really?
Mate, every hour on the hour, a trained octopus would eat a seagull. Right, and then every half hour on the half hour, an old man would throw up into a bucket and a fish would emerge with his teeth.
It's like Dreamworld, yeah. But better.
Steve Irwin's kind of like, you imagine the old shaky. Sydney town, the actor having to sort of do the shift of the guy vomiting the dentures up. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to work, had a big night last night.
Who have we got next,
Boris,
Ed?
Boris, hello, Boris.
Yeah, g'day. How you going, guys?
Very good, man. Tell us.
Well, my story is very similar to the last one, but I was travelling behind a mate of mine in a family going across the Nullarbor, yeah. And he had a bit of a coughing fit, and I had my hand out the window playing with the wind, as you do, and I caught his dentures in my hand.
Can people just keep their dentures in their mouth?
Hey, Boris, those dentures must have been really travelling. Like, they must have really been coming along. Did they smack into your hand and you just instinctively grab them?
Well, they just landed in the palm of my hand, and when we pulled up at the next stop, he looked like a gummy shark, and I said to him, I said, what happened? And he told me, and I pulled him out of my top pocket, and he could not believe it.
Okay, so what you mean to tell me, Andrew, is that you drove along up until the next stop, having thought that you'd pocketed some dentures and maybe not mention it to your friend, and the fact that he was just, you know, mouthy at you with no teeth, you went, put the two and two together and went, hold on, this might impress you.
That was quite funny because it wasn't far to the next stop, but I sort of guess, well, we were the only ones on the Nullarbor, you know, it gets pretty lonely up there. But, yeah, I guess where they come from, they couldn't have come from anywhere else, could they?
Boris, are you willing to come and recreate that every hour on the hour at Samson's Believe It or Not?
Well, yeah, I guess I would, yeah.
It could be what's looking like a VHS cassette for you.
Port Power.
That was funny.
It's just, that right. Is the sound of a Cavalier prize pack being opened.
Well, that's Port Adelaide, that's near the Nullarbor.
Boris, fine, it's a Triple M T-shirt instead, how's that?
Oh, great. Yeah. Good on you guys.
All right. Do we have time for one more or are we into the next show?
Shush. Andrew, how are you?
How you going?
Great. Tell us quickly, please.
Yeah, I was reading an article in a fishing magazine about a bloke who went out marlin fishing.
Yeah.
He caught a marlin and he split up with his wife. So he put the wedding ring on the end of the marlin's bill.
Yeah.
4 years later, went back out fishing, caught the same fish with the ring still on the bill.
It's just like just one.
Went back to his wife and they're back together again.
It's like the same story. Was the marlin wearing glasses?
I love that then they got back together. They were brought back together by this this amazing event.
Isn't it?
How did the marlin get its mouth open if it had a ring around it?
No, it stuck it on the end of the bill, slid it on the end of it.
Yeah, on like it's a horn bit.
The sword.
Yeah, the sword.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, they all seem to involve fish, all these, believe it or not. What is it that we're so willing to just believe? It's like religion or myth. Oh, yeah. No, they fed 1,000 people with a loaf of bread. Yeah, no, this fish had Molly Meldrum's hat on. It was wearing Tony Martin's glasses, and you wouldn't believe, but I think Maria Venuti's Logie's dress from 1978 was...
We have been so amazed by the stories that we are going to have to wind up the show.
Yeah, fair.
But we do want to get another song in. Do we have that fantastic John Howard duet? Do you love me?
Yes, I do. Do you love me? Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I mean, for heaven's sake, can we get a sense of proportion?
Oh, look, I think it might be time for us to sign off.
Man, that was so good.
We have been just so amazed today.
I don't know where any of it came from. I came here to talk about my movies that I'm in. What's going on?
What are these movies?
Thank God You're Here this week, mate?
Yes, Wednesday night. Thank God You're Here. Channel 10, 7:30.
Well, you'll just have to come back and tell us about these movies.
I'd love to.
And hello to anybody who's had a car drive through the front of their house. Isn't that on the increase in Australia? What's going on there?
Through the roof.
Every time you open the paper, it's woman hit by car in home.
Can't get it back anywhere.
I just think, look, if you're walking from the kitchen to the lounge, remember the rule, look left, look right, and look left again. It's not safe out there. And thanks for coming in, Angus.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Ed.
Thanks to everyone who called in. And our key phrase today, I guess it was the title of Bernie Taupin's biography. What was it again?
The One Who Writes the Words for Elton John.
And we will be back tomorrow with Lawrence Leung.
Hey.
And it's all thanks to Census 1234 and Marlins.